When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Saving money on exterior wall lights now at Menards. Find your style with Patriot Lighting. Exterior lights enhance the look of your home. Choose from over 50 options from Patriot Lighting. Now through May 19th, get $10 instant savings on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on in-stock outdoor wall lights. Check out our entire selection of outdoor lights and see the rest of our deals happening now on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Going to school, I had no school to go to, and I never went to school till only very little. When I should be going to school, I was working with farmers down in the county dairy, and I got for 6 months. The custom there was, in my time, you would engage with a farmer to stay with him for 6 months and work for him, and they would make a deal what he would give you for the time. And I worked for 6 months. The first time I hired, I worked for 6 months for £2.10. I hired with a man in County Derry.
And where was the hiring fair?
In the hiring fair of Stramann. You go to the hiring fair, you would bring all your belongings with you, and a little, they used to call it a bundle, and a little handkerchief, or a big handkerchief, a muffler, we'll say. And your little belongings, a shirt or two, and maybe whatever clothes you would have would be all tied up in this little bundle. And that's the way the farmer would know you. And the hiring fair, you'd be always carrying your little bundle.
Pat Ward, Pat William Villey, was born 86 years ago in a glen of the Bluestack Mountains of Donegal. He's typical of many of the older generation from an area which was and is Irish-speaking, and which must be among the most isolated in Ireland.
Actually, in that whole Baerler Bee, na Scola Bee, na Cha Pobla Bee, he's called in a knee mealer, Donna Dooney. I was near over, should able to bear the big lord, John, and you should able to yell and scream. I was, he should, gober, we should, we mara knock over, you should, he's fudge a sure year, and Balamores Cogriok, Naglante, you guys, a brocker. You know, the reeve is for the shula walla. As Nero shule should create the shule ahanak a ratchet. Nero glushkan na rohar and the namshin a harabe.
In the year 1895, the year after Pat Ward was born, the first train linked Ballybuffet, the nearest town on the eastern side of the Cruacha, with Glenties, the nearest town to the west, the two about 26 miles apart. But whatever the railway may have done for the towns and villages in its path, it made little difference to the isolated glens to the south. Most of the people of the Cruachs never saw the train and never travelled on it. The odd letter, their only contact with the outside world, arrived no more frequently either.
There was only a post once a week you would get a letter. Every Wednesday was post day. You wouldn't get no letter only once a week. And if there was anything urgent or anything, you wouldn't. If a letter would come on Thursday to the post office, you wouldn't get it till Wednesday, the following Wednesday.
But then if you were near some of the towns, you'd get it much faster than that.
Oh, you would get it, I suppose, every day there in the towns, but we were far from the towns.
Mm-hmm. And they used to have ponies and chaps there to meet the train, I believe.
No, we wouldn't be. There weren't many horses at all. And the land was too rough for horses at all. The horse, in fact, would get lost or get drowned in it. The ground was too wet and rocky for horses.
Well,
the only thing that the principal way of living they had was a mountain sheep. That's the principal thing that we used to love, mountain sheep. They would have maybe from 40 to maybe 150 or something. According to the, some of them owned a lot of mountain lake. They could keep a lot of sheep.
Joe Gibbons of Derrigra has plenty of mountain, and he owns about 200 sheep in the Cruachas today. Joe Gibbons is the father of the only two children from Derrigra now attending Comeen School, 4 miles away. When we first met him, he was collecting the children in his minivan, as he does every day when he's not on the mountains after sheep. We followed the van westwards along the Reelin River, then southwards through the forest, over a narrow bridge and along the rough winding road between the river and Gargeen Mountain. Looking across the glen from his home, Joe gave us the geography of the place. Further west along the glen, at the foot of Cruachan and Yantha Mountain on the far side of the river, is where Pat Ward was born and his neighbours the Macaluans, uncles of Joe Gibbons and the great storytellers and Shanachies of the Cruachs, all gone now. Scoil na Gruach was closed, in fact, in 1971, after 64 years of existence. Its last teacher was Moira Banny Kelly, now living at Cumann, and herself a native of the Cruachas.
Bi mission erfa nimlan djeg. And nur fuman dasha vi schacht klein djeg skolani in the skol. Ach nur dagma nirwana in klein djeg. Agus dan klein djeg shan darirev nirwa dinywanya ku skantan de grue. Ach shina far djum skol.
Pat Ward saw both the opening and the closing of Scoil na Gruach. But ironically, he was born at a time when, though the number of young people in the area was large, educational facilities were just not available to them.
The first year I was in higher, that school was put up. And when I come home, the school was up. I remember it. And it's just as... The chapel was the same, the Aidan Chapel. I remember it had been built also.
Aidan Anfa?
Yes.
And that was the nearest one?
That was the nearest one, and that was approximately 3.5 miles away from us.
Who built the school, do you remember?
It was Canon McFadden, parish priest, Gordon built.
Of Glenties?
Glenties, yes.
Formerly of Guidoor.
That's right. After he left Guidoor and he was parish priest in Glenties then with us. And I remember him well.
What sort of a man was he? He had a great reputation anyhow.
He was a very very steadfast, daring man. Very, very strict in his ways. I remember he was a great preacher in Irish. He used to terrify us. He'd preach in Irish all the time. And of course, they would understand nothing else there, most of them.
He had none of the troubles in your part that he had in Guidoor, of course.
No, he wouldn't. He had no troubles there.
Well, was he highly thought of by the people?
He was. The people liked him very well. They liked him well, although he was very strict. And they used to come to the people couldn't go to mass there. They only the priest would come around twice a year to the how to the call at the station. Where he would announce from the in the chapel that he would be in such in a house and such in a day, and the old people that couldn't walk to the mass, they would always come to the stations, and they would be brought maybe on donkey carts, and they would come to the stations when the priest would be there. And at one time, my father, I often heard him saying that he remembered the time there was no road at all coming on. And the people used to carry everything from, but they would be carried, some of them could have carried 4 or 5 miles on their back, everything into the house. There were no road whatever into the houses, into the area.
It was regarded as being a very backward area, but really and truly it's not backward anymore, because the people living in that area now have got their own conveyances. They've got electric light, of course, now, and there's a good tarred road to the district now, so that you could not regard it as being too remote at all at the present time.
And yet it's going down.
Oh, yes, but the mistake was made years ago by the government. They didn't do anything to preserve that area. And they looked for the electric light in the year 1954, but at that time they wouldn't get it in under any condition at all. Now they've got electric light, but there's nobody there to enjoy it except a few people living on their very own.
The people of the Cruach seem to have a natural intelligence which has enabled them to overcome the effects of isolation and the lack of educational opportunities in the past. Pat Ward and his people are an example of one family, all of whom did reasonably well in life, and there are many others. Eddie Gibbons, a youthful-looking 76, is postmaster of Cumeen, and he did attend the Cruach School just a year after its opening.
Ni degus a hort. Tama shacht a shacht a blien la dernata vi vien ovi.
Well, vi alone dine and shin agus ni worship moran scully of Rivershin Hurby.
Then you be scholar be. You know, Mahar lied your skull. Avima wahid your skull and shaw. I guess we do. Mun well legger togo measure satan amnior than you be a course gone.
Well, Shin Pat Wardenish far more Shanachish, agus ta Leo Gushkrio Eggis, ni Yahisher Skull Rio.
I guess, Dahar Nibushinne. We scholar are they using your favor score. I guess, Fanish Tisha da Fat Rokahalad, Vina Superintendent on a guard, the Shavi, which are scholar in the group.
Well, Kai Shager or Rodenchak Ella Ako, that Roy Gulordine.
We learn again one hand, I guess, Oxy Trifles, Fiolum so well at the. We should forest all. Vi var nog grua untak klishte marana kur varando i en schön greche kontas konta hasche der en lagin ko kont gastas konta hav dnel er lor.
But well schooled or otherwise, people have been leaving the Cruacha as long as anyone can remember.
There's nobody living in that nowadays compared to then. And at that time they had bad roads, they have good roads in there now, and all sorts of ways of travelling compared to then. They would travel that time, walk to Glenties and back, or walk to Brock or Ballybuffet and back. Now we're sitting in cars.
But it's mostly old people who are there now. Very few young people, no
they're,
school.
They're no young or old than that. They're only 20... There are only 22 people from your turn on off this road till you go to Stucker. You know Stucker. 22 people.
People, now that's not families even.
Oh, people.
Yes.
22 people altogether.
And very few of those will be young people.
Well, just three or four.
And there are only a couple going to the school here, in fact.
Joe's two children, Joe Gibbons' two children, and it's only lately they went to school, they tried. Out and in to get transport and they couldn't get it.
Neil Dinya La Fale Womacha La Kodu La Fad was Gary the Court of Kodi Honey La Mono went. Neil and the Nom Neil is Kelm Kedium Tree Tahir Yamland Akata Shaka Jetamahad Valahanadan Shana Walconium.
Tata her hamang shan dritje, ta kanala hier, da bat hier dritje stese hele, agat kanala dritje shan kirik tehe. Wal, ta tja hale bin rewe dritje, agat ta tja hale lakre dritje, shan kuk tehe, agat an tja shan huas on fadrik, na kono mai domre padrik, hala shan dritje, shan shet tehe, agat si William hale shan shak tehe, agat tja hale min ashona, Och de hier. Agus rat an nach lahar in chant. Ta och de hier, want ta tja, ta ga ha huas rat de lahar. Chen dead de hier. Agus ta ga ha hel rast rat de lahar. Chen ga ha dead de tja.
If the people had been there, they had to do something to survive. Of course, they're getting money now easy. They see it's different from them. They had to at that time. The churned. They kept, every house had hens. Now the van man's out selling eggs instead of buying the man, selling butter. They all had their homemade butter, and the summer especially. And it's changed a lot. It's changed for the better, of course, but I don't know. I think anybody keeping cows should have their own butter. And any farmers should have their own eggs as well.
But they have a travelling shop too.
Oh, it's all a travelling shop.
They don't have to go out for their groceries.
They come to the door. Even to the door, you haven't to go to the road.
I guess you're looking at the shop on that day.
Tíchtu þú stjáðu bálag ar fadun sjó?
Tíchtu þú stjáðu bálag ar fadun sjó, nýrðu bálag að ég við sérgat úr sér týra að þig, þannig hvað það heit sér. Þegg.
Agus, hvað vil niður sjópi ég að gera þetta sem sinn, þannig að væla að það gulum áttu hinn?
Vel, kæljum þá er hann sjápað að skókur ég að það hóð sér, er það sér dræði dúr. Agus, hvað
að það sér sinn vóið sinn sjó?
Even the sheep, which were once driven to Brock of Fair or the 12 miles to Glenties, are nearly all sold at home these days. The man from the Cruacha spends nearly all his life involved with animals. Cattle, though much less nowadays than formerly, dogs, foxes, badgers, even birds at times, but always with sheep. The constant topic of conversation and debate.
They're not very intelligent. They're thieves now. They'll thieve into good grass or into your field of oats, maybe, all right.
Well, it takes a thief to be intelligent, too.
Yeah, but there's a lot of intelligence for themselves, all yes. Right.
But did you ever hear of any of them pot coming to potato pits, or as they used to call them in Donegal, pits of praise?
Pits
of praise.
Oh, yes.
And hoking down the clay with her 4 feet.
Yes, they have intelligence in that line, all right. You might have a pot of potatoes now covered with clay, we'll say.
Mm.
And the sheep will come with her and they'll scrape with her front
feet
until they make a hole into the potatoes.
That's right.
And scoop them and eat them.
Well, did you ever hear of a yo that knew the time that the men would be out in the field as well? Is that when they went in for their dinner, if there was anyone calling for their dinner, she would come down from the hill and get down to the pit, and before they would be back again in the field, she would be going up the hill again.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that happened in our place.
That's right.
Yes, in Mina Waljerig.
Paddy Campbell comes from the southeastern side of the Bluestacks, from the area between Loch Esk and the Great Gap of Barnes Moor. There's no similar gap in the Bluestacks themselves, so the northern and southern glens are completely cut off from each other. But the way of life is very much the same on both sides.
A lot of mountain people, you see, have two dogs, but one of them is accustomed to take the top of the hill if they're taking sheep down off the mountain. One of them would always go to the right-hand side of a flock of sheep and the other to the left-hand side, and you wouldn't even have to tell them that. They got into that system, do you see, of doing it. But as we were talking about how to train them, you'd see a young pup, you know, and following chickens first and gathering up the chickens that they'd find around the houses, you know. And you'd say to yourself, well, this is going to be a good dog. He's taking an interest quite early. And that's how the mountain people usually get to know what was going to be a good sheepdog.
There'd be dogs, though, that would attack the sheep, kill them even.
Well, any of them will do that. Because if they're following, coming in groups, you know, or maybe if a bitch is in heat or something, they would start off. And if there's one villain among them, they'll kill sheep, and the rest of them will follow suit. And once they get a taste of the blood, then it's good luck to them after that.
Did you ever hear it said, Pat, that it's the good dog would kill the sheep?
Yes, very often it's the case. And they're very intelligent. They'll not kill sheep in their own neighbourhood. They'll go a good distance, maybe 2 or 3 miles away, and they'll kill sheep there. And they'll come on their way back. They'll go into a stream and wash their blood off themselves.
That is known, all right.
Yeah, they'll go in and wash themselves if there's any blood on them.
Yeah, walk through a stream.
In case they would be blamed for it.
Yes. Yeah, but a good sheepdog, even a killer, if you're working with him on the mountain or on sheep, he'll never offer to kill a sheep while he's taking them home or while you're with them themselves. It's only when there's a gang of them together that they really go in for this mischief of killing sheep.
In the mountain areas, another great source of worry for the sheep farmer is the fox.
Well, indeed, the foxes at the present time, indeed, and all down the years, there were a menace around the mountains and coming down for chickens and all this sort of thing. And the old doors never were very good. I remember the time that there was branches tied together. They called them shegos, and they were tied with the ropes, straw ropes or hay ropes that was made. There would be a bundle or an arm full of black sally branches cut, and the tender ones, and then put together, and there would be three ropes put on them, one and one each end and one in the middle, and they would be stuck onto the doors of the fowl houses often. But that reminds me anyhow of one spring they used to always talk about old Donal O'Kelly, and Donal used to put the yows, they were all around the mountains, and they used to take them. This year there was very heavy snow, and he put in five or six of them into a byre that he thought was lambing that night. That was the custom in those days. And the first race in the morning when Donald got up was to go around to see if there was any young lambs born during the night. But he pulls this old shega out of the byre door. It kept in sheep, but it couldn't keep out a fox. So the fox was always able to crawl in at the side of the branches, you see, and get in. He discovered anyhow that there was a fine ewe lamb dropped sometime during the night and was lying dead. And here was the red dog, the mother ewe, lying beside the lamb, and the poor mother ewe standing overhead looking down at her lamb. So he come to the conclusion anyhow that the ewe had, after the fox had killed the lamb, that the ewe had hit the fox with her horns, of course, though some of them was quite aggressive and would defend their lambs to the last. And the fox was obviously was dead as far as Donald was concerned. So he lifted him by the legs and threw him out. He says, "You have the damage done anyhow to me now." He says, "You're good for nothing." So he says, "My fine lamb's gone." So the minute the fox was thrown outside of the door, up he got and made off. So Donald had two disappointments then. He had his lamb dead and the fox gone off. Well,
this is an illustration of the cuteness of the fox.
Of the cuteness of the fox, exactly.
Yeah.
Because of the remoteness, a way of life survived in the Cruacha, which had died out even in the strongest Gaeltacht areas of Donegal. The crafts associated with the carding and spinning of wool, naturally enough, lasted longer. And even yet, Bridget McLoone of Cruachfin and Yantha has her small spinning wheel, now unused.
We turn him all and the turn him back come hing a hood.
Ni yen and two ober be here to turn you.
Ni am stad man yen, but that little celebrity in the gavli and the turn you.
And couldn't let way a clitch oil?
Oh, we need clitch oil, can't you? So, you know, guess any where he will have any yellow. That's sure.
I remember my mother and my sister carrying and spinning, and they used to have what they used to call the camp. Three or four, there'd be seven or eight. There'd be two carding for every one that was spinning. And then they made the yarn and sent it away to the weaver to get it made into cloth. They made blankets or homespun, any homespun. And that died out. In fact, one of the wards was a weaver, and he was a yard after it. James Ward, his brother Patrick's.
They did a lot of weaving themselves in that house.
Well, they did, but it didn't last so long. But it was very good when it lasted. He was a very good weaver.
We used to make clothes, make blankets and suit lengths, and it used to be all done under one roof. It was carded, spun, and woven, and all made ready for the tailor. And there was nothing paid, only to the tailor paid to make the suits. The wool was our own, and my mother and sister carded and spun it, and my brother weaved it, and all used to be done in the one house, all was to be paid was the tailor to make the suit. And I had a suit of it, and I wore it and wore it like I was tired wearing it. And I got it dyed then a different colour, and I wore it and wore it. And I got tired of it that way, even a different colour, and I gave it away in the end. I never could wear it out.
With the blankets, there was another process to them that was very interesting in those days too.
Yeah.
There were the scouring of the blankets when they were completed, when they were woven. It was a great effort, you know, and no one wanted money. Money was a sort of an unknown commodity at the time, except just for they lived nearly, they were 95%, you know, self-supporting. But the gathering up of the material for the scouring of blankets was a big job. It was urine from both the humans and the animals was gathered in barrels or tubs, and it was kept until such time as there would be scouring the blankets, and it was kept in these barrels. But there was water got then as well, and it was put into the black pots, a couple of black pots. There might be a fire even set outside in a black pot put on it, and it would come to a boil, and there would be about 3 pounds of black soap put into each pot. And there was half doors on most of the houses, and there was a door, a good door, one of the best they could get, maybe put down at the back of the half door. And there might be a block put on one side, on each side, and two men would get down when the blankets was ready to be scoured. And a blanket would be put in between the two men after it first been soaked in boiling water and the boiling soap. And they kept pounding the blanket with each leg, the right and the left. And it would be the two rights together, do you see, and the two lefts together, with the result that the blanket was continually turning round on the platform and soaked. But then after it had got maybe about 15 minutes of this pound first, there was then a small dish of the urine put down on it as well, and some more soapy water. And this was kept going on for about an hour and a half until finally all the oil of the wool was completely cleaned out of the completed blanket. Then it was washed out with the hot water, a pot of hot water, in the same method. The men kept turning and working away with their legs, do you see, each side, you see, and the blanket was turning around all the time on the platform until it was completely cleaned out and was then spread out on a thorn hedge. So when that was taken in, you could wrap yourself in it, and I tell you would get warm. Yes, yeah.
The fate of the Cruacha as a community, the decline in numbers, the craftsmanship which once flourished, are all symbolised in a way in the person of Pat Ward, one of the oldest people from the area, now living in St Patrick's Home for Old People in Kilmainham, Dublin. With wool, which might have come from the sheep of his native place, Pat crochets beautiful rugs and tapestries, and with fine copper wire he weaves his own designs into bangles and brooches, holy water font holders and St Bridget's crosses. But he is the last of the craftsmen from the Cruacha.
I just designed them in my own mind. I never saw anyone doing them. I never saw anyone made. Mm. I designed them in my own mind and first and started to work on that. And it happens to come to be success. They come out nice.
Vi bokt i kjølen, vi dinjen vi mye portiet. Vi færre vannet, men hun ennå hvis vi omrører fire tjere ligger så høyt portiet. John han kjennet henne med vi er færre dagen ikke lån. Og nå er vi mer enn dagen ikke lån i seg henter. Jeg spør gjerne mellom vi i seg henter og ligger jo i vei med lån med linse.
Og vi klover er fatt med lån.
Oh, vi far mor kyrre har vi en patak lån, og så nå er far mor kjenne hæske vi en fast i oss. Hei gitt så det er å njøke her en kurt du kjenne skilt i oss. Ramesh.
Agus bhí John Doherty sa teach go han vinnig.
Oh, chaiú John Doherty bonas na bliana an gaminic. Agus chaiú mar an strenchir I gistar le cuid ceol, John, ar nói.
Bhí sé an sin sílam an úr dhearnach a bhí me héna an...
Bhí ta me cinti.
Agus sin rod eile fwy na cruach a bhí an chan liachúlach réalach an mar a dérha.
Cercilior. And you heard it, then you'll be whole on the nurse. Better nor one were in the spiral of a minute, a cabivioco ran at you there, la Fabulton Valley.
Sean is Sean Port Mike, real in the grower. Then I tell him a tale.
McAloon, I was the Anna McAloon, I was the Farrell Johnny Ward, Bishop Moy Foster, I was the Shinnowell Covenant of Morganish.
I was the Galore Diener of Kyolako.
We Charlie Maranaku, Charlie Mike Maranaku, Charlie Gurlick.
I was the Begun Kyolog at Hengo Fall by the
year. The logic call heart Augustus. Oh,
little shit heart go fall. Ach, we two hon more any call can do in Sheila. A couple of verses though.
The film of trial though. My hugle my head the how new. No, he shall me shall on and neither up on the door. Now it is.
The great musicians of the Cruacha are gone, the great storytellers, the step dancers, the craftspeople who once flourished. As more and more houses are left uninhabited, the Irish language goes too. Like the narrow mountain road which peters out as it goes west, the remnants of another Fiorghaeltacht community look like coming to a slow, inglorious end. Few are optimistic about its survival.
Well, I cannot see how it's going to be saved. I don't think there's any future in it. And it's a great pity.
It's mainly old people who are left in it now.
Yes, the remnants of big families. Just one person, one man, left in each house there at the moment.
And there are numerous ruins to be seen along the road there as well.
Oh, yes, yes, there are. There were ruins there even 20 years ago, but now, of course, there are more ruins there.
And it's also picturesque as well.
It's a very beautiful area. I don't think there's any place in the Ring of Kerry, although it's famous in song and story, I don't think there's a place there equal to the beauty of the Crows on a summer's day.
Is there any future for it, do you think, as a tourist area?
You see, that is the mistake that was made by the government years ago. It should have been developed as a tourist area, say, 20 years ago. But as far as I can see now, there is no future for it except whatever the Department of Lands probably will do in future time.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.